When a mysterious billboard featuring the Tudor rose of Henry VIII and the quote, "So now get up," appeared last year in London's Leicester Square, books people went nuts. They knew it was the teaser for The Mirror and the Light, the third book in Hilary Mantel's acclaimed series about Thomas Cromwell. The first two won Man Booker Prizes for Mantel, and despite the fact that they're doorstops, the series sold millions of copies and was adapted into stage and television dramas. At the center of the books is the brilliant and ruthless Thomas Cromwell, chief minister to Henry VIII, here played by Mark Rylance in the BBC adaptation.
I need guilty men, Harry. So I've found men who are guilty, though not necessarily as charged.
Weekend Edition's books editor Barry Hardiman talked with Hilary Mantel about Thomas Cromwell and the end of her trilogy.
For readers hoping that Thomas Cromwell survives in Hilary Mantel's book, I have bad news for you. There is a beheading at the end of The Mirror and the Light. And there's one at the beginning, too.
The moment that Henry's second wife is executed, the moment her head falls, we are into the action.
Anne Boleyn is dead, along with five men in the court of King Henry VIII. It is the aftermath of a startling and dramatic coup that may or may not be over, orchestrated by Thomas Cromwell.
So we immediately begin with the reader plunged into this poisonous, jittery atmosphere of the court.
Cromwell's life has utterly changed since the events of Wolf Hall, Mantel's first book in the trilogy. No one looms as large at court. He oversees almost every facet of the English government. Mantel did years of research, and the fictional Thomas Cromwell is portrayed in minute detail in The Mirror and the Light, a sly wit, a loving father, a calculating minister, and a formidable foe. In real life, Cromwell's success was simply unheard of for the son of a blacksmith from Putney, and his rise is recorded in detail because he had something to do with everything in England. But his early life is a blank. Mantel fills it in.
There are certain traditions and stories that have been told about his early life, but he never talked about his past. That wasn't just for the sake of repression. I think some of his power lay back there in the shadows because people couldn't add him up. They didn't know where he'd been, who he knew, what he'd seen. So it may be that some of the air of mystery was deliberate.
Thomas Cromwell is best known for getting the king to break with the Catholic Church in England, ushering in the Protestant Reformation there. But he was also a kind of fixer for the king, providing counsel, strategy, and crucially, wives. Mantel never lets the reader forget that Cromwell has blood on his hands. Cromwell is responsible for trumping up charges against Anne Boleyn and the men who are executed with her. He is as facile with words and numbers as he is with rumor and intimidation. But even though he's the right-hand man of a king who's most famous for his many late wives, Thomas Cromwell likes women.
He did, I think. And after all, to put it another way, if you work for Henry VIII, you had better at least try to understand women. You couldn't regard them just as chess pieces. And he realizes to get the women's point of view is another weapon he has in his hands. And right at the beginning of Wolf Hall, he's talking to his wife, and she's talking about how the women of England, she thinks, are so sympathetic to Catherine of Aragon, the aging wife whom Henry is trying to discard. And he, Thomas, thinks women spend time imagining what it's like to be each other. So from then on, whether it's women or men, he deploys empathy as a weapon. He realizes, you know, that it is very important to take the time to creep into someone else's imagination. If you can find out what people want, you can very often give it to them at little cost to yourself. And that's easier than riding roughshod over them.
Hilary Mantel's Thomas Cromwell is almost too clever for most of the trilogy, and indeed for much of The Mirror and the Light. It seems impossible that he will ever fall, and when he does, it is swift and startling. But in the end, despite the mystery and power he manages to conjure for himself, he cannot escape who he is.
His big mistake was being born Thomas Cromwell of Putney. Cromwell was so unpopular because people then thought, we shouldn't be ruled by boys from Putney. We should be ruled by dukes and earls, because this is natural and this is God's ordinance. So Cromwell was viewed not just as an upstart, but as someone who was subverting the natural order.
And even though anyone with a search engine knows how Thomas Cromwell meets his end, this is historical fiction that vibrates with suspense.
It's got the fascination of seeing someone walk towards a cliff edge. How will they react when they get there? And what will those final thoughts be? And of course, with any suspenseful drama, the reader wants to interrupt, to lean in and say, be careful. But you see, we can't intervene because we're like powerless gods. We see the danger coming, but we can do nothing to avert it.
Mantell is already working on the stage version of The Mirror and the Light. But sadly, for the millions of fans devoted to the trilogy, she says she's done writing about Tudor England.
No life without Cromwell, I'm afraid. When I began the project, I wasn't in search of the Tudors. I was in search of Thomas Cromwell. And the conclusion I've come to is there won't be another big historical novel because I won't live so long, considering what I impose on myself by way of research. I think from the first pages of Wolf Hall, from the first paragraph, I knew it was something special. I thought, this is a central project of my life. And everything I know, everything I can do is going to go into these books. After that, I fold my hands and it's over to you, the reader.
Barry Hardiman, NPR News.